be shared, but I think it's so appropriate to ask this question today. A special day we put aside to focus on being thankful and count our blessings. We should do it every day. It's just one day in the calendar that we determined to focus especially on this subject as a church. We look at it from various angles over the years, and I think there is still room to study and to learn a little bit more about this subject. I have preached on it for many years. I've been preaching since 1996, and often I tackle this subject, but I want to be open with you and tell you that only recently I start to fully understand what it means. What if I tell you that there is only one single little thing that we can practice in our life, that it's guaranteed to produce happiness and joy, wholeness, even health and wealth. Besides salvation, besides having Jesus as Lord and Savior in our life, there is a very simple little thing that if we know how to practice it, it can provide happiness and joy, wholeness, and as I said, even health and wealth. And the lack of it is the greatest obstacle against experiencing these things. We all have this, at least this thing in common. We have many things, but all humans, we strive for happiness and joy, for wholeness, for health, for wealth. We know it so well. Since we were children, our parents had to work hard with us to teach us how to say thank you. We are older now. We may know how to say thank you, but we may not have reached the stage of being thankful. Thankful. It is a great difference. Some years ago, I preached about the secret of thankfulness. After that sermon, I preached another one, the miracle of thankfulness. And perhaps many of you may remember the story I've used at the end, the parable of the stone that created a real miracle in a poor community. Today, I want to focus on the importance of being thankful, the importance of being thankful, or as Andy already focused so much on the importance, or let's say the power of prayer, we can put it the power of being grateful or gratefulness. I want to keep it very simple. I was about to say short too, but I want to keep it very simple today. First of all, start with a very basic. Why? Why should we be thankful? And the first thing we need to be aware is that God is required. He instructed us to give thanks. And over the pages in the Bible, over all these pages in the Bible, there are over 170 times verses that instructed God's people to be thankful. Over 100 in the Old Testament, a little bit over 70 in the New Testament. And many times it comes under imperative. Let's read just a few pieces of scripture to begin with. Today is not going to be an expository sermon as I normally prefer. And we've established this practice in this church. But a very well-known psalm to start with, Psalm 100. And then we will move to Colossians, because we've been in that few verses for two Sundays already. So Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Because we've started this short series learning a little bit about spiritual maturity from Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. I want to repeat and read again these two verses. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. We've already learned that the spiritual mature person lives a progressive, not a regressive life. A progress in faith, a progress on understanding and living God's grace. And also there is a progress in practicing thankfulness. Last Sunday, we've learned that a spiritual mature person lives a profound, not a superficial life, being anchored in Christ, because that guarantees our stability, our significance, and our productivity. But today we want to focus on this very little last part, overflowing with thankfulness. I come to conclude that thankfulness is one of the greatest marks of a spiritual mature person. It is one of the latest steps in the spiritual maturity process. Although we've been taught since we were children, we are still having to work on this. And there is a great difference between saying thank you and being thankful. This comes from learning how to be content with things. And God knows this. And that's why we have numerous verses, as I said, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament with instructions. And I wonder why. And recently I come to conclude that this is because when we are thankful, when we are practicing gratitude, we are reflecting God's character. Thankfulness is consistent with the character of God. And that's why, just read a few verses. Deuteronomy 8:10 says, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which has given you. And we are doing this as Christians, at least around the table, before and some even after, most of us before. In Psalm 50, verse 14 says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. I've chosen a few verses from King James this morning, although I struggle to read it sometimes. In Psalm 95, verse 2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Psalm 106, verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endures forever. And we read in the New Testament, in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, that this is God's will. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything, give thanks. God Does this mean that even in my suffering, even in my trials, even in my rejection, even when I'm right and they are doing wrong to me in everything? Yes, says God. This is my will. Because I want you to reflect my character. And I want you to become like my son, Jesus Christ. You've just been part on the table with him, says God the Father now. You've learned from my son that when he led first communion, that supper, before he broke the bread, he gave thanks. And he knew what's coming. He knew that there is a betrayer there. He knew that Peter is going to deny him. He knew the agony he's going to experience in the garden, as Andy already shared about. That happened after the communion. He knew that he is going to ask the Father God, if there is any other way, depart from me. If there is, I agonize so much, but I'm ready to embrace your will. He needed an angel to come and strengthen him. And God the Father listened to his prayer. He knew that the cross is coming, and he gave thanks. So we need to follow his example, his character, throughout his life. If you pay attention to various miracles and teachings of Jesus, you'll see that he knew how to practice gratitude and thankfulness. In Matthew 11, verse 25, we find him doing this. In Matthew 26, verse 27, and he took the cup again and gave thanks, the communion experience. When he multiplied the bread and the fish, when he saw that mass of people in need, when his disciples were so discontent and frustrated, and they were anxious, what are we going to do? They come to Jesus and said, you know, release the masses, let them go. They shall go and buy some food. They are in need. And there is a little phrase there. Jesus knew what he was about to do. He knew. He had it under control. Is there anyone here that has any food? You know, and that little child was ready to come with his lunch pack. Few loaves of bread and few fish. Jesus took them, and what did he do first time? He gave thanks. And we've learned from that passage a few years ago, the miracle of thanksgiving that multiplies things. But he gave thanks. Today we want to just focus on his practice. He gave thanks. He practiced gratitude throughout his life. Various beings besides humans in the Bible, like angels, we find them especially in Revelations, they are giving thanks to God. The 24 elders in Revelation, again, they give thanks to God. If you read Revelation 7, verses 11 to 12, and Revelation 11, 16 to 17, you'll find this concept once again. There is something in the nature of God that demands us to be thankful. And there is something in the nature of Satan that doesn't want us to be thankful. Because if you think deeply, and I have to confess, I never thought of this until recently. We always keep saying, and we know that the first sin in the universe was or is whatever, what? Pride. Yes? Pride turns Lucifer into demon, into Satan. But what was actually before pride? You know what? Lack of thankfulness, dissatisfaction. I want more. He was the greatest creature, the greatest angel, the first among all angels. But he was not satisfied with that. He wanted more. He was not content. And that lack of thankfulness and this discontent led him to be proud and desire even more to take God's place. It is anti-Satan, if you can say, anti-Satan to be thankful. It is anti-Satan to be thankful. And that's why, because we are born sinners in a sinful world, in a fallen world. That's why, since we were little, watch a baby, watch a toddler. Are they content? Are they satisfied with what they have? Why do they throw away everything you give? They get bored of their toys and they want a new one and so on. Since they were baby, I've done this, you've done this. Why? Because we are born in a fallen world with a sinful nature. It is rooted in us to be dissatisfied, discontent, and we are not thankful or grateful for what we have, for what we get, for what we receive. We always want more. You know the story, I've used it in the past, about this little girl. And the pastor comes in this family and he brings a chocolate to a 3-year-old girl, and mommy, just to prove how well she is educated, because, you know, they tend to have their mouth zipped, you know, and she didn't say anything when she got the chocolate, and mommy had to help her. How do you say? What do you say now? She's still silent. And what do you say to the pastor? I want another one. Rather than saying thank you. It is deeply rooted in us. It's interesting. Another thing I found this week, actually, studying a few things, that in Hebrew, the word for gratitude is hodah. And it's actually the same word as for confession. Confession or gratitude. They have the same word in Hebrew. You get the meaning from the context. And why is it so? Because in other words, to offer thanks is to confess dependence and to acknowledge that someone else is doing good to you. And you are depending on that, especially when it comes to God. It is a matter of humility at the end of all. To acknowledge that you don't deserve it. It's been given to you. And rather than boasting with what we have, we shall be thankful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, Paul is a little bit harsh in this verse because he has to defend his true apostleship. But he says in verse 7, For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? And let's pause here a little bit. Even within our congregation, we have extremely gifted people. We all have gifts. Where did this gift come from? Paul says, you received it. It's from above. It is God who graciously gave you gifts. And everything that you have, inside and outside of you, comes from above. You should be thankful for this. Reflecting God's nature and the likeness of Christ. But let's move on. And I told you earlier that this very thing can give you happiness and joy. Have you ever discussed with people or heard this expression? Well, if I would have this and that, I'll be happy. If I would have this and that, I would be happy. And if I'll be happy, I'll be thankful. So my question to you today is, which one you think is right? Happy people are thankful people, or the other way, thankful people are happy people? Which one you think? Let's vote. First one. We are a Baptist church, yes? Happy people are thankful people, or do you think thankful people are happy people? Let's vote for the second. At least in theory, we know it. It's interesting. I told you when I study and preached about anxiety and the depression, I've studied quite intense on this, and I started listening to podcasts, to various counselors, doctors, neuroscience. Discovered that there is a great deal of study these days. And I've developed a passion for neuroscience and so on. There are numerous researches now, serious studies that show and prove that when we are expressing thankfulness and gratitude, the whole chemistry of our body changes. And now, we experience happiness, regardless the exterior factors in our lives, what we have, what we don't have, and so on. Numerous studies nowadays prove that even the lowest of the lows, if it is taken and thought how to express gratitude, they place all kinds of electrodes on the head and on the heart, not on the chest, measuring the heart. And they concluded that the whole chemistry, and there is also a kind of a field, they call it electromagnetic field, that goes up to 3 meters around us. And they can measure it. When we are thankful. People who came with depression, with anxiety, grumbling, dissatisfied completely, and they've been trained and they've been given reasons to be thankful for several hours, they turn out to be completely different. They testify that they were overwhelmed with joy and happiness, and that they wouldn't trade that for anything else in the world. But we knew it. We have it in the Bible. The Bible said it for thousands of years. And we just read it in Psalm 100. Let's read again a few verses. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I said earlier on that there is a thing about Satan and this anti-Satan to give thanks. And I believe this is one of his greatest weapon nowadays, the weapon of dissatisfaction among Christians. He will do everything possible to steal your happiness and your joy, because he would blind you and would blind me in order to count my blessings, to realize how many reasons I have to be thankful. I know about God's faithfulness. I know about his love. But do you experience it every single day? There is a great difference, I said earlier, between saying thank you and being thankful. And this is how some people put it. And these are non-Christians, but I borrow their idea. In order to fully experiencing, you need to use these three words and put them into practice. All of them start with E. Emote, extend, exercise. Emote, it's not just saying it, but feeling it. Emote the gratitude, the thankfulness. Emote it, feel it. Oh, but we don't emphasize too much on feelings. And I'm the first that I preach so many times about this. What we need to realize is that our thinking create the feelings. We cannot separate them. The way we think leads to the what we feel. Why? Again, scientifically, we need to know just a few things. The brain is connected to the whole body through what we call the nervous system. If you can imagine, someone said, you know, the nervous system, literally, if you could take out the bones and the flesh and see nothing else but on an X-ray, just the nervous system, it is so dense within the body, linked with every single organ and so on, that you would see a person's characteristics. You realize that this is Daniel. So if I'm a strip of flesh and bones, and you could see just the nervous system, you would still recognize that I'm Daniel. It's linked everywhere. And these are sensors that communicate with the brain. And what the brain thinks, what our mind thinks, which is a little bit different than the brain, it influences through this nervous system the whole body, the whole chemistry. Therefore, the way I feel is a result of what I think. We started with why we should be thankful, because God requires it. He gives us reasons to be thankful. He wants us to be like him. And then he wants us to experience the feeling of happiness and joy. And when we practice gratitude, we can be happy and joyful, even the entire context is not favorable. Paul in Philippians, when he first landed with Silas, they experienced rejection, hardship, opposition. They were put into jail. And in that jail, they start to do something, to praise God. They sang and they pray and they've been thankful. They express their gratitude and thankfulness to God. And something happened at the middle of the night, that earthquake. And later on, after he went from them, he sent them a letter in Philippians chapter 4. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 12, we read, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whatever well-fed or hungry, whatever living in plenty or in want. In other words, he says, I'm not allowing circumstances to change the way I feel. No one and nothing can change the way I feel, because I have learned the secret of being content. That doesn't come naturally. That's a practice. Emote, extend, exercise. He learned how to exercise it, how to practice it. So why should we be thankful? Because God wants us to be happy and joyful people. There is a poem that I found these days. It's called Forgive Me When I Whine. Today upon a bus I saw a lovely maid with golden hair. I envied her, so beautiful, and how I wished I were so fair. When suddenly she rose to leave, I saw her hobble down the aisle. She had one foot and wore a crutch, but as she passed, she wore a smile. Oh God, forgive me when I'm whine. I have two feet. The world is mine. And when I stopped to buy some sweet, the lad who served me had such charm. He seemed to radiate good cheer. His manner was so kind and warm. I said, it's nice to deal with you. Such courtesy I seldom find. He turned and said, oh, thank you, sir. And then I saw that he was blind. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have two eyes. The word is mine. Then when walking down the street, I saw a child with eyes of blue. He stood and watched the others play. It seemed he knew not what to do. I stopped a moment, then I said, why don't you join the others, dear? He looked ahead without a word. I realized he could not hear. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. I have two ears. The word is mine. With feet to take me where I'd go, with eyes to see the sunset glow, with ears to hear what I would know. I am blessed indeed. The word is mine. Oh God, forgive me when I whine. Count your blessings. Thankfulness also leads to wholeness. And very briefly, I invite you, if you like to follow, open to Luke chapter 17. Where we have the story of these 10 men with leprosy. We know the story very well. I'm not going to repeat it. We know that Jesus healed them all. But only one turned back to say thank you, to express his gratitude. And in verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? We know that he was a Samaritan. Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. But you know that King James Version is the only translation that says has made you whole. And I think that's right. Now, you know a little bit about leprosy. You know that there is a kind of a growth or an infection of skin that in time causes extremities to fall. You lose fingers, ears, nose. I have met people that had leprosy in the past and they were healed, but their extremities. They had no fingers. One of them had just half a ear. And they live like that. And this is how I understand this text in the light of what I've studied this week. All 10 were cleansed. No leprosy anymore. But because of the length, I don't know how long, at least some of them, they may have lost their fingers, a bit of a nose or ears. They were cleansed, but they were not whole. One of them, one of those 10, when he realized what Christ did to them, to him, he thought would be good to come back. He didn't rush to go to the priest just to tick the boxes of a ceremonial law. For them, it was much more important to come, and for him, it was much more important to come back and say thank you and express his gratitude. And to this one, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. I think he experienced something greater than just being cleansed. And that's why in Colossians, Paul, when he teaches us about spiritual maturity, he brings this subject towards the end, overflowing with thanksgiving. Because as you grow in your relationship with the Lord, as you mature spiritually, you realize how important it is to be thankful. That this is not just a rule. This is not a matter of being polite. It is something that makes you whole. We all have been cleansed by our sins, hopefully. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've been cleansed. But we are not yet whole. We are in the process. In order to experience true wholeness. And as I said earlier, even health, mental health, emotional health, physical health, spiritual health. The Bible teaches us to practice thankfulness. When you truly are thankful, no matter what, you will experience wholeness. I'm telling you. If you continue just to grumble, be critique, dissatisfied, discontent about what God is doing, about what people are doing, about what you have and not have, you'll be more and more empty, not whole. Your emptiness will grow. I forgot to bring some of my glasses that I wear at night. I have some yellow glasses, special glasses. They are called blue light blockers, but they are yellow. My trustees, they know that. I sometimes wear them when I have to stare to the screen after 9, because blue light disturbs the way I sleep. And yours too, but many of you are not aware of this. However, when I wear those glasses, I've seen everything, or I see everything in yellow, because I wear those. When we wear the glasses of dissatisfaction, we see all reasons not to be thankful. You'll see every reason possible, all the negative things. But I've started by showing that being thankful is a reflection of God's nature. And being unthankful is a reflection of the evil one. Your nature determines, your spiritual nature, determines the way you perceive things. In this world, there are many negative things and there are many positive things. But our nature determines on what I shall focus. Think of this. Especially during summertime, there are plenty of flies and sometimes bees in the area. Back in Romania, I had a good number of beehives, and I've learned a little bit about bees. They are pretty much alike, no? They fly and, you know, but their nature is very different. Imagine that some in this room, well, some in this world, yeah, some in this world are flies, some are bees. And you come in my garden at the men's. It's not the tidiest ever now. Some flies are wandering around and they find some rubbish. They find the black bean. They find a room to get in. They find dirt, bacteria. They enjoy finding that. They are so much attracted by dirt. And then when they leave, they spread it. When bees are coming, they look for flowers. They don't even notice the bee, the black bean, the willy. Or maybe they have seen it, they ignore it. It smells bad, this is not for us. They only search for flowers, for nectars, because they collect that. Now, they are coming here by the pulpit, and we are asking, what have you seen in Daniel's garden? Flies are happy to report. I've seen a lot of dirt, lots of germs, lots of bacteria, rotten food. And we are happy now to go and spread it. Bees would come and say, no, there are some nice flowers. We spend a good time there collecting the nectar, and we are happy to share it with our family in the beehive. Why? Because the nature determines what they are searching for, what they are seeing, and what they are collecting. If you share the nature of Christ, you look around, you look at the church, you look at every member, and you will find reasons to be thankful. You'll look outside and you'll find all these goodies that God has blessed us with. Crops. In a year of pandemic, you'll still find lots of reasons to be thankful. You'll look at the government. Oh, yes, even to the prime minister. And you'll find lots of good that he had done. Your nature will determine what you will perceive. And then the way you react, being thankful or critique, being satisfied and content or dissatisfied and discontent. Other times, there will be another time, I'll prove that actually thankfulness is the seed to more, even in terms of wealth. In a nutshell, many of us want more, but we are not thankful for what we have. If I was to be God, I would do exactly what he is doing. Why shall I bless you if you don't know how to thank me for what you have first? If you are not thankful for what you have already, why shall I give you more? Thankfulness is the key that opens the door of abundance in your life. But because I said about these things or trick I've learned from others, emote, express, exercise, I want to conclude the sermon with a very simple exercise. The entire week, I've reflected and I prayed for every single member of our church. And I thank God for every one of you. I look at what Paul does in Philippians chapter 1, where he says, I thank my God every time I remember you In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I think of you the same way. He says in verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In the original, it's hard to translate that phrase. I would say for all good memories, for all the memories I treasured, all the memories of you. He looks back and he remembers. He remembers his special call to that city. He remembers his special interaction with Lydia and few other women, and the conversion, the context, and their contribution for the gospel. And he is thankful to God for them. So I want to thank God for every single member of our church. I want to thank you for every single member of the leadership team, for the elder, for Andy, for all the deacons, a great team that had worked tirelessly during this pandemic time and from the very beginning. I thank God for every single care group leader and for their care groups. I thank God for every single member of the pastoral care team that are doing a great job in this local church. I thank God for the prayer team. I thank God for the worship team led by Marie, for what you, David, have done over the years, for each one of you, Mark and Phyllis, for the new youth ministry that has started by Mark. I thank God for you, Mark, and for your team, for Afina. I thank God for Sunday school teacher. I thank God for the merging team, for the crash, for the tiddlers, for the food bank, and for every single other activity that is run by people in this area. I'm being thankful. And there is one person now that wants to come on the stage and express the thankfulness for a member of our church who has been involved for many years in the tiddlers group. And Claire Massey wants to share a few things at the end and offer a bouquet of flowers to this honorable member of our church. This comes from the Tiddlers Project. After this, we will conclude with our final song.
Morning, everyone. Can you hear me? Because if not, put your hand up, please. Most of you will know that Tiddlers Stay and Play group has reopened. What is Tiddlers? Some of you may not know. Tiddlers is where mums, dads, grands, and carers bring babies and toddlers 0 to 4 years old. The adults stay and the children play. Now, for about 20 years, Barbara, Pam and myself have been running Tiddlers on Tuesday mornings during school term time. On Tuesday, 17th of March, 2020, due to COVID lockdown, we closed Tiddlers. We didn't know when we would reopen, maybe reopen in June or maybe September 2020. Never thought we would be closed for 18 months. However, answer to prayer. We reopened Tiddlers on Friday, 17th of September, 2021. Now, because of the food bank, it's well established on Tuesdays, and it's done a bit of a takeover, but it's an outreach and a very necessary outreach into the community. We were asked, could we move to another day of the week? Could be a bit tricky after 45 to 50 years on a Tuesday. It was discussed, and it was agreed to move to Fridays. Over the years, we have been George Road, Mother and Toddlers, and Parent and Toddlers, PC Correct. Off the top of my head, why not Tiddlers? the name stuck. Now, way back in the autumn of 1997, Renee Edwards, some of you will remember Renee,